I had to choose whether or not I wanted to be this normal American sorority college girl or someone who was deep down really focused on dance.
Hello and welcome back to Red Lips and High Kicks with me, Lydia Hull. It's lovely to have you again. I'm so happy to be back this week with another smashing, super duper, wonderful, inspiring lady. Today I talk to Candy Tong. Candy is from across the pond, all the way in San Francisco, and it was lovely to chat to her about her experience, about her life in the dance world, and how different, but also how similar that is. You know, she's had an entirely different education, career, all these different things, but there's so much there that we have in common, and I for sure that is just the beauty of the dance world is that togetherness, that, you know, we have different lives, but we are one. But Candy trained at San Francisco Ballet School before moving to New York, where she now works with Complexions Ballet Company, which sounds amazing. I've heard of it before, but if you haven't already, I would check it out because it sounds like such a 2020 company full of diversity and inclusivity and just the sort of stuff that we need more of in this world. So I was super excited to talk to her all about that. She gets into the Instagram culture, how she kind of maneuvers that as a dancer and a quote-unquote influencer. She didn't like me calling that, but it was really interesting to kind of just pick our brains. I really hope you guys enjoy this episode. Obviously, weekly plug, please give us a subscribe and a like and a rating down below. That'd be so great to hear from you guys and just helps me get a bit more coverage, get a bit more seen, to get a bit more ears listening to these marvelous words. And find us on Instagram at redlips.highkicks, where you can give us a follow there and see our content. I hope you guys have a great day, enjoy this episode, and stay excellent. Hello, Candy. Thank you so much for joining me today. You're one of my furthest away guests, which is really exciting. I love talking cross continent, over oceans. How are you getting on today?
I'm doing so well. Thank you so much, Lydia, for inviting me to your podcast. I'm so excited to talk to you.
No, it's great. And I love having a fresh perspective. I've talked to mainly Brits, but obviously Ashley last week was South African. I've talked to an Aussie in a previous series, but it's really interesting to talk to an American and kind of hear from your perspective. I'm sure there's differences and similarities between our training and our work. And I'm looking forward to kind of really diving into that.
Definitely. I'm sure there's a huge difference.
So my first question is, obviously this year has been tough on everyone, particularly I think artists, but what has this year taught you?
Wow. Well, I want to say COVID-19, I think, has really brought appreciation to a lot of us for the craft that we put out on stage. And I think the biggest lesson I've learned throughout this time is sometimes you can't stress out about things that are beyond your control. I think a lot of us are just so anxious to be back on stage that there's really nothing we can do but really follow the guidelines of what your country or your state or your county is telling you to do, because in order for the arts to be back to where it was, first the normal business and the economy has to do so much better before artists, especially in America, thrive. Because in America, the arts are really put down to like the last level, where the least funded, lowest paying job. And it's just so disheartening to see our country fail. And again, as a striving artist, literally fighting to sometimes pay rent in New York or fighting for the last meal, etc. It's just hard to see our world crumble. And I think for someone like me who is all about that hustle mentality and loves to be busy all the time, it is important that you find a side job or several. And again, during this time, I think it's really opened up a lot of our eyes to different realms of the world. For example, I'm actually very interested in Broadway, even though I grew up a bunhead, love classical ballet. So for me to discover myself in other different styles again is very rare. So I'm very thankful actually for this time, because it's brought me back to I was a competition girl, my competition days. And it's just been so much fun, and it made me realize that I have another passion for another style. And I'm like so hungry to be in a different dance world, for
Yeah.
example, showbiz. So yeah, quarantine has definitely been a blessing and a curse for sure.
It is that hustle mentality. So many
Yeah.
dancers have it. And it actually, you think most of it is like, motivating yourself. That's the hard bit. Actually, I think it's slowing down. It's telling yourself it's okay to slow down. And you're right that dance is really the last thing to be up and running. It's the same in the UK. It's so sad. It breaks my heart. And I have a job, I'm a lucky one, but still, it's so hard just to see like not respected and not appreciated because, what would, I mean, it's the fundamental question is what would quarantine have been without the arts? Like, what would have everyone done to keep themselves busy?
Exactly. And it's absurd because you see on social media, like obviously social media is about arts, like you're posting a photo, that's art. And you see all these people supporting, but they're not actively supporting you. And I think that's what's so frustrating. And they're willing to spend money on certain things, but not things that they're actually, they don't know consciously that they're paying attention to, like, for example, TV, just movies, etc. Like, that is art, and they don't realize that.
No, and it's the future will really show that because I think there'll be such a gap and a halt to all this production, all this content and arts and whatever it is being created. And it won't be now, but it'll maybe be next year or I think the fallout can be so much further because so many like, young artists with potential, whether they're script writers or set designers or dancers like us, if they're not feeling supported and having the funding to really explore themselves, they'll either leave their country where like the funding and the arts aren't supporting them to do it in another country, or they just won't at all. And I think that's a really it'll be a real hit into the industry and the progress and the strides that we've made.
Very scary because I'm sure you, as you've seen on the news, like Broadway in New York City is closed until potentially fall. They just announced 2 days ago that's indefinitely closed until summer of 2021. And so it's just New York itself does not thrive unless there's tourism. And Broadway brings the tourists to us. So it's just going to be very interesting to see what this next year is like. Not only for America, but for the world too. Because I know that some parts in Europe are fully working.
Yes, no, I've seen this as well. Some ballet companies, I mean, at like, this point of time, they are getting that. And I have to say, I'm not entirely sure. I mean, I'd love to really hear. And if anyone knows, write us an email because of how they're doing it with the testing. I don't know. But I also know there were several in Europe that have gotten so close to a premiere and gotten so close to reopening. And just like that, someone's had it, or a boyfriend of or someone's had it, and they will have to go back to square one. So as good as it is that it's opening, I think that kind of roller coaster, oh, are we, aren't we? That's also quite stressful.
Definitely, definitely. I wouldn't, yeah, that's crazy.
Anyway, on to brighter, happier days when the world was, hunky dory and we got to dance all day. You talk about your bunhead competition days. I'd love to hear more about that. Like, it's such a massive industry in America, coming, a little bit England. I also did like some competitions myself when I was younger. But was that your first introduction to dance? How did this all start for you?
All right, so I started dancing when I was 3 years old, and like many other parents, my mom and dad put me into dance just as an extracurricular activity after school. Meaning, I was dancing, I was playing soccer, which is football for you, basketball, I was drawing, singing, so I was doing all these different activities, and I actually didn't enjoy dancing until I was about 7 when I really knew what dance was, because obviously when you're 3 it's just skipping across the floor.
Being told what to do.
So at age 9 I was actually very serious in dance, and I told my mom, I was like, this is what I want to do for a living, and I want to be a professional ballerina. So she brought me to a local competition studio in my area here in San Francisco, California. And that competition studio actually asked me to audition for San Francisco Ballet School. And so I did. that audition. It was actually the craziest audition for me because, again, growing up at a competition studio, I was already like doing tricks and almost a little bit of acro, not really, but you know, more things for a 9 year old. And so when I auditioned for Sierra Ballet School, the audition was literally only skips across the floor, pointing your toes, like toe touches, and maybe like a tendu. Like it was nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, and testing out your splits. And I was so baffled, and they obviously could notice that I was so confused because they pulled me aside and gave me like what a company audition is like. They literally pulled me to another studio, me alone with two directors, and gave me a full bar at 9 years
old. Oh my gosh.
Crazy, right? After they're like, oh, like, we notice that you're very advanced for your age. Usually at 9 years old, you're placed in the primary level, like beginners, level one at Syracuse Ballet School. And they're like, we would love to offer you a full scholarship to level four. And usually level four is age 12 to 13.
God.
So I entered Syracuse Ballet School at age 9. And I trained there for 8 years. I was pretty much the youngest for each level. So during the time at Syracuse Ballet School, I was also going to the competition studio at the same time just to diversify myself as well. Because SFB only really offered ballet at the time.
Yeah.
I just remember it was always a secret because like any other prestigious ballet school or dance school, they don't want you to go to another school or like, you know, they want to pretty much quote unquote own you as that.
Yeah, no, no, it's true.
So I remember just leaving because I was at SFB for like maybe 5 hours a day. I remember leaving like running out because I had to go drive like 30 miles to my competition studio, and I would be at that studio until like 10 p.m. So another 4 hours. And the competition world itself is so... It's crazy in America.
Yeah, I mean, I can only imagine. It really does seem. And it just seems to have grown and grown and grown as well. I just really feel like I see some of these videos and like they're young, they're like infants and they can just do these crazy things. And I thought, how on earth do you teach someone who is a fetus to like fall on their head? It's madness.
I actually wasn't one of those. Again, I was a bunhead and I was in denial. I was like, I am not doing that.
Just missed it. You'd be on your head. Yeah, you'd be there giving it all.
I was that girl. I was like, you know, I was like, I'm not all about the tricks. I'm just technique.
I'm all about the technique. Oh, I love it. I love it.
It got me far, though.
Exactly. No, there's a lot of strength in that.
Right. But I did competition for about, I want to say, five to seven years. Pretty much my whole childhood, I want to say.
And how do you think, I'm kind of interested because there's moments when I did only a few competition again in the UK. It's not of the same realm at all to the States. Yeah. But I remember doing a few and there's a few moments in my career that I've actually thought, you know what? I think this actually goes back to those days. And I think that actually goes back to those competitions because I do think they do help you. Like I remember getting upset once that I didn't get the medal or something. And I remember my mum pulling me aside and was like, you do not cry. You go and say, well done. And you like, you cry by yourself and it's fine. And it's a small thing like that, that now, like if I don't get cast in something or I'm not the favorite, it's like, you know what, you've just got to be humble. You never like have a strop, like stuff like that is so unprofessional. I think it's, and actually I'm really glad that my mum instilled that in me in such a young age where obviously everyone wants the medals, everyone wants the jewelry.
Right, exactly. I feel like I am also very thankful for a competition because I was never really focused on winning. Yes, it was so nice to win. Like, obviously, we all feel fulfilled when we're, you know, achieving some award. But I was actually very thankful for the amount of time I got to be on stage.
Yeah.
Because, again, as a pre-professional student who's trying to dive into the company world, or if you're going through an apprenticeship or trainee, you're not really on stage that much. You're fighting to be on stage because you want to take another person's role.
Yeah.
So it was such great exposure. And that's really when I knew that I loved to dance because my passion really was found on stage. I was like, wow, I love dancing for an audience. I love eye contact. Like, I literally love staring at people and seeing what their reaction is. But even nowadays, it's just like, it's good because I've never really gone stage fright, and I think it's because of competition.
No, that's so true. Because yeah, when you exactly when I was at school, you know, you fight for the end bit, the performing bit, but during your training, you don't get it. And actually, like, that's the most important part. So you're right. If you have that at the beginning, that's it, kind of proves that your love is in the right place, rather your love just being in the studio. Like, you need to remember to love the stage, because that's the professional bit, isn't it?
Exactly. And it's good that my parents literally threw me on stage at 9. Otherwise, I feel like if I entered it later on, I definitely would have been scared. Because it's like so many eyes looking at you. But at such a small age, you really don't really think about
Yeah,
it.
it's like skiing, like all these French children like dart down the slopes, like
That's
they're not
right.
afraid.
Yeah. I'm like, no, thank
Yeah, exactly. And I'm super interested to ask you as well, because I was reading your blog and like checking out, you know, all these amazing things that you've done. There's so much, like, you are really one of a kind. And I'm really interested to talk to you about, you know, that you went to college. Like, that's something that is just obviously not done in England at all. Like, we don't have the same college system, so it's not really the same. But how on earth did you balance that? How did that kind of come about? And the change of your career, how did that keep your spirits high? And knowing that you were, you know, not kind of directly getting closer to your passion, but how did you keep yourself alive? How did you keep yourself going?
Well, first of all, I just want to clarify, my college is your university, correct? I always saw myself as entering university in the middle of my professional dance career. So I always wanted to go, but I never really saw myself like doing the normal 4-year program, like as a normal girl, entering a sorority, etc. And so when I was about 17, 18, that was a year I went to English National Ballet School. And I was accepted right away into their 3rd-year graduate program. And during that whole year, I was auditioning every week, whether the directors were coming into the school or I was traveling throughout Europe and even went back to America to audition. I actually had 3 job offers. And the one I chose was in America. And unfortunately, I lost it completely because I got my first serious injury in my second metatarsal. So I got a fracture. And I was out for 6 months. And they didn't want to take me injured, which makes complete sense. And I was only entering the second company at the time. So I had to resort to plan B, which was university. Like, I was away from school for 4 years because I graduated high school in just 2 years to again train at Syracuse Ballet School. So I obviously have not been like writing, I haven't been doing math, like all of that. I wouldn't say I forgot, but it's just I wasn't a normal girl for 4 years. And so I was absolutely terrified to enter back into a normal world to live, because you, as a freshman in university, you have to live in a dorm your first year. And I've been living on my own since I was 15. And having already moved to London across the pond, London across the pond alone, like at such a young age, to go into a dorm, a small dorm with 2 other girls, and like just not know what this life is was very scary for me.
Yeah, I
And
imagine.
I just remember the first day of university, I told my dance professors, quote unquote, I said, I do not want to be here, and I am going to do everything that I can to get myself out of here. And funny enough, they were very supportive of that because they answered back, yeah, actually, we just had a meeting about you, and we were wondering why you are here in this program. So they were actually very supportive and wanted me to enter the concert world again to get back in the professional dance scene. So I went to school, for your followers, at University of California, Irvine in Southern California, which is really close to Los Angeles. My schedule was 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. at night. This is including rehearsals as well as regular academics. And my personality, I'm still a very, even though I wasn't fond of being there, I'm still very much a go big or go home type of girl. So, of course, I joined a sorority. And that is very uncommon to hear from a professional ballerina, let alone. And it's funny looking back because now I look at my photos, I'm like, oh my goodness, like, I do not see myself there whatsoever. Yeah. Like, as a sorority girl, I'm like, I am not that girl. Even though I'm, like, super fun and bubbly and all that, but I'm just like, whoa. Yeah. but I very much wanted, I've always feel like I've lived this Hannah Montana life and got the best of both worlds because I even told my mom when I was 10 that I wanted to have a normal life. Like, I still went to a pre-professional ballet school and still attended my normal public high school. And I wanted, like, this balance because I feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, but us dancers have a very interesting, strange, but beautiful mentality. And we're just very different from your average Joe. And I'm a type of person who can't be surrounded by dancers all the time. Mm. Like, I need a different fresh of air. I need to talk about different topics during the day instead of just dancing.
Yeah.
You know, like, I feel absolutely insane.
No. And I think you're so right there. Like, we do all grow up really quickly. Like you were saying, you'd already, like, left home. You'd already come to London. So to kind of go backwards must have been so odd, but it also gave you, that Hannah Montana life, that being able to not miss out. Because I think about it all the time as well. I always think, like, there's some things that I sacrifice, and sometimes they're really small, like I'd never literally lived at home. Like, to live at home and just, like, come home and your mum's like, oh hi, like, it to be casual and not for it not to be a big deal. And I also, like, had this small moment in my career where I got to do that, and I felt so grateful for being able to do that. I didn't feel like I was missing out.
Right, so I'm very thankful for that. And I still haven't even answered your question, sorry. I talk a lot.
No, do. It's fine. This is what it's here for.
But when I was in college, so like I said, I wanted to get out quickly. Mm. So I actually ended up graduating in 2.5 years because my first year was actually the first time I really entered contemporary ballet. Mm. So again, sorry, let me backtrack one more time. At ENB, I was still very much a bunhead. Like, I wanted to dance for a classical company, but we were so lucky to have Wayne McGregor, come and hold a masterclass for us, Forsyth, Rombert, like all of the contemporary ballet and modern companies. And, the director at the time of the school, I won't mention her name, she's like, you know, you should really actually think about contemporary ballet. And she's like, you're very good at it. And she's like, I personally think you're better. And at the time, I thought, like, that was, like, an insult because obviously I went there and it was such a narrow-minded mentality. I was like, I know I want to be in tutus and tiaras. So I was, like, really angry after that.
Yeah.
And so it was always in my mind. It's like, oh, maybe I should focus on contemporary ballet because I'm tall, just like you. I'm 5'10", and I'm your atypical Asian female. Usually Asians are very petite and, like, very thin, but I'm actually very muscular, and I'm a little bit curvy, and I'm tall, so it's so rare to find, again, in the ballet.
In the ballet world, obviously,
So when I entered college, I was 18, 19, I can't remember exactly. So I found, my mom actually told me to look into complexions. And my boss still laughs at me to this day because I had no idea who Desmond Richardson or Dwight Roden were at the time, who are, like, legendary dancers and choreographers. I mean, Desmond has danced for ABT, danced for Michael Jackson, like, everyone. Alvin Ailey. So I remember entering that first day of their winter intensive being like, whoa, like, the movement just felt like second nature to me.
Yeah.
And I truly felt at home, and I was literally just attending a regular masterclass. And they, the two veteran dancers at the time were teaching me, and they saw, I guess, a complexions dancer in me. And so they actually were the ones who really got me my job. Like, I am forever thankful for them, because they told me, they told the bosses, Dwight and Desmond, to keep an eye out on me. And so since then, they kept inviting me to New York to take class at their company, to actually perform with them on stage in New York during their home season at the Joyce Theater, as well as go on tour with them to Ukraine. And this is all whilst I was in college or university. And so because of them, it gave me an extra push to leave and graduate early.
Yeah.
So that is, again, very rare for a university dance major. I say that because a lot, I've seen it through my own eyes, a lot of dance majors fall out. They go into this program like thinking they want to be a professional dancer, but by the second year, if they're not pushing themselves, if they're slacking behind their work, or if they're partying too much, which is, again, a huge American culture in university, they often, 90%, change path. And it's so sad to see, because there's so much talent in them. But
no, it's that mindset. It's exactly, it's not having like a chip on your shoulder. It's being like, no, I'm still very much in the race. But actually, like you said, you might have been sad to be there and it wasn't the plan, like, you know, in inverted commas, but actually it enriched you. You got to have this Hannah Montana life and you still made it. You've just got to really decide, and like, very inspirational. And I'm sure, you know, you could definitely help a lot of people who are also having to kind of make that plan B move that don't want to, but it's really not the end of the road. And it's so encouraging to hear that.
Right. I'm so thankful for that period of time in my life, because I think I grew up a whole lot, not only as a dancer, but as a person itself. Like, I thought I was mature living in London when I was 16, 17, 18. But no, like, it skyrocketed when I was in university, because you, again, you're being thrown, especially for me, who wasn't living a normal life, I was thrown with all of these different things I haven't seen.
Yeah.
And I had to choose whether or not I wanted to be this normal American sorority college girl or someone who was deep down really focused on dance.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a very eye-opening.
And yeah. It's for me, like, again, it sort of happened. I had a break in my career and I really did feel like it's just not working out, whatever. And as sad as I was that that happened, because again, I also had the plan of like ABC, that tunnel vision, school, company, like done and dusted. And having that step back, as hard as it was, I got to have this second life. But it also then, it made me actively choose dancing. I wasn't just choosing dancing because it was all I'd ever known or everyone around me was doing it. It was that like, oh, I'm doing this for me. And now coming back to it, I am surrounded by people who just went ABC. And like, as much as I wanted it, and I'm actually so glad, and like, I'd love to go back and like hold my younger self and be like, honestly, this is the best move for you. Because now every day I don't take it for granted. And I feel so much more connected to my craft because it's mine. I chose it. I didn't just keep going. And yeah, I wish I was told that. I wish I had someone to tell me like, it's okay. Like, this is actually gonna be really good for you.
I know, me too. And I feel like, I can speak for you as well, is that I feel like we feel more fulfilled.
Yes.
Like, we've accomplished a lot more than the normal, like what you said, ABC route. Because we've seen a lot more, and I feel like we've had more experiences that we can put into our work.
Yeah. No, it is.
Everything. I always say that. Trust the process.
Yes, trust the process. Actually. Yeah. And I'm like also so excited to talk to you about, like, you know, you're an influencer. I'm sure you probably cringe when I say that, but like, it's true. And I think, you know, dance is kind of late to the game a little bit. You know, models have been using their follower accounts you know, for all those times, rather than every other person, reality TV star, you know, they earn an income, it's their job. And, you know, it's more and more, you have to make room for it and accept that young girls want to grow up like that. And that's okay. But I know, but like, you've kind of, obviously, I think there's few dancers that have kind of got the span that you have, how has it affected you? Like, you know, like not only we'll get to like the emotional side, but as a tool in your career, do you feel like it's helped your career in some ways or actually, you know, halted it? How have, do you think it's affected you?
Definitely has helped for sure.
Interesting.
So I've actually been doing some one-on-one consulting with some dancers because they've actually reached, I actually never saw myself as this girl, but a lot of girls have reached out to me wondering how I created my personal brand. And I was like, what do you mean? I say that because I, like many others, just joined Instagram when it first started back in like 2011 for fun, you know, was still using the Instagram filters on the app, was posting like normal photos.
Bit of Valencia in there.
My first photo shoot, dance photo shoot, I'm not sure if you ever heard of Ballet Zeta.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Yeah. So the photographer, we actually grew up at San Francisco Ballet School together.
Ah, okay.
And so he was really the one of my first ballet photo shoots. And the photos I posted on Instagram were from him, and it absolutely went viral. And at the time, it was so easy to grow on Instagram. Like, I actually achieved 10,000 followers within my first year on Instagram,
wow,
which was crazy because that's unheard of nowadays.
Yes. Oh, God, that is a lot.
Yeah, and let me just tell you guys, so 10,000 followers that first year, right now I'm at 32, so it's crazy how slow the growth can be and fast tracking into college, I was not actively on Instagram because, again, I wasn't really doing photos. Modeling wasn't a thing for me whatsoever back then. Like, I didn't take it into consideration. It wasn't really until after college. There was at least a 5-month period where I didn't have a job, and I just graduated from college. Complexions wasn't really in my hands yet, and that was actually the lowest point in my life. I thought about quitting dance entirely and doing a whole other thing. But that's when I found my passion for content creation. Which is what I like to use.
Yeah, I won't clue it in. Sorry.
So I dove into every realm of content creation, meaning I tried to be your lifestyle blogger. I tried to be your fashion blogger. I even tried to do like this whole, which I kind of look down upon, sorry, like Instagram modeling, which is... And what I found is I obviously love dance and I love fashion. So I combine the two, and I love urban street photography. And so during that time, I was taking these sort of photos, as well as created an actual blog where I was documenting my life post-college and writing about my experiences in the pre-professional dance world and what it was like to enter university and all the stereotypes and the stigmas and just all the negativity that was brought into entering university as a pre-professional student. So already I was gaining traction from young girls who were kind of in a similar boat.
Yeah.
And that's when I realized that I can make this a business for myself, that Instagram can be a business, not only for my dance career, but for just as a blogger in general, I guess. And I've always been about giving back to my community, whether in dance or not. And I felt connected to the younger generation, and I love helping them out as much as I can, because I wish when I was their age, I had someone who was guiding me through all the grit, not just sugarcoating or like telling me just borderline of what it was like to be in this dance world, because a lot of dancers don't realize exactly what it's really like to be in this dance world, because we are thrown into this very cutthroat scene. And I wish there was just a guide or, like, you know, pamphlet the bad things that can happen to you, or just like the rejections and the failures that you're about to face, which will eventually help you in the long run. So that's really what I wrote about during that time. And as for content creation, I realized that I was connecting to a community that I hadn't before. So I kept going at it, not thinking really, I was like, oh, I'm doing this because I want followers or likes, etc. I was doing it because I genuinely love to help people. And it was crazy because Instagram really was blowing up, I want to say, within the last 5 years.
Yeah.
I have gotten many offers from not only like brands in general, like normal brands, fashion brands, etc., but dance companies asking, like, I've gotten one, like, actually a contract, auditions just through Instagram. Like, they'll literally just look at your video on Instagram or photos and they'll ask you to join their company or ask for an audition. And that's so bizarre because you and I, we both were sending CVs, cover letters, like video reels.
And you know that, like, you're going into an inbox where everyone else's looks identical. And that inbox, like, they're going to look at that top one that day, like, whatever. It's never going to be you.
Right. And it's almost, for some, it can be very, unfair. Like, sometimes I think it's unfair because I actually know one boy in our company who got our contract through Instagram. Which is crazy because our complexions audition is so difficult.
It's fascinating, and I think, like, it's a, such a bigger conversation with, you know, influencers, sorry, content creators in general. You know, it's making space for them as a job, because it is, like, it's one thing, like, I'm a girl who likes to get ready, I like to pick a nice little outfit together, but then when it comes to, like, taking a photo, I can't be bothered, I cannot be asked. And actually that's where I go, that's why, you know, you have a following. That's why you're successful, because it's not as simple as people think. You have to really put in that time, put in the diligence to know what works. And it is, we really got to accept and acknowledge that it is a job and that it is hard. And if you are making, you know, those steps with getting offers, like, whether it's dance stuff or not, like, you do deserve them, because I'm not putting in that effort. Like, I'm not. So of course you should be, you know, reaping the rewards.
There's definitely, a negative stigma, I guess. I still don't really call myself an influencer because I feel like I don't really, yes, I feel like I'm influencing on the dance world, but, like, compared to other influencers, I feel like I'm not on their same compatibility.
Yeah, for sure. I would say, like, the content creation is definitely yours. It is more artistic. It's more curated and, like, enjoyable rather than just like, oh, that's what I'm doing today.
Exactly.
Not that there's anything wrong with that, but in your case.
Just different. Yeah, exactly.
No.
But I truly enjoy it, and I think it's so beneficial, especially as a dancer. I think because we're in this age where social media has become something bigger, and again, it's a blessing and a curse, but it can really help you with your dance scene. Like, it's basically another portfolio for you. And it's good marketing. And I think complexions, especially with complexions or with my modeling agency, my talent agency in New York, we kind of, I hate to say this, but we use each other. And it's beneficial on both ends, because we both are able to reach a whole other audience that they may have not been able to before. So that's why I really advise not just the younger generation, but people even my age or older now, to just, you know, start thinking about maybe having a social presence.
It's really interesting. And with your, like, modeling, I guess it must be difficult. And I'd be interested to know how you have learned to, like, accept yourself, because I love that you do kind of brand yourself as an atypical dancer, and that you have, you know, you acknowledge that you are tall, that you have an Asian ethnicity, and that you are athletic. And that's really, it's admirable. And I think more dancers and more young people need to hear that again, it's okay to be different. And with your modeling, you know, you put yourself out there, that, like, courage and that acceptance, was that something you really had to fight for? How did you kind of get there?
So I started modeling professionally. I was signed about 2 years ago. So I didn't really call myself a model until I was signed.
Yeah.
And even still to this day, I'm like, every time I enter a casting, I'm taken aback because even though I've been in front of the camera so many times and have done a lot of photo shoots and have even shooted for brands prior to signing, I was absolutely mortified because I was standing next to these beautiful girls who actually have like chiseled jawlines, like the most amazing features, and I've never felt so insecure about myself.
Wow.
It was like one of the first times ever, and I was like, whoa. I was like, I literally had to give myself a pep talk. I was like, Candy, you probably have more experience than the girls next to you, and you know how to work a camera. It's like, why are you being so scared right now?
Yeah.
So it's all mental. And to kind of think about it, it's literally just like social media. Like, you can get past the comparison if you don't look at other people's feeds or stop checking up on what other girls are doing or boys. So same thing as a casting. Like, why are you like literally thinking about the girl next to you when you are here for yourself? If you
Yeah.
want the job, it's about you, not about the girl next to
Yeah.
you. So it definitely took some time, as with everything.
Ballet is so hard on your body, and it's so hard to accept yourself when you're just faced with a mirror. And again, like you said, with the comparison, how did you get to be body confident in yourself enough to be a model?
I'm gonna backtrack again once more. So that time in London, that was actually the first time I was told to lose 20 pounds in
20 pounds.
20 pounds in 1 month.
That's an
I was like,
enormous
and
amount.
I'm a smart lady. I even told my director, I was like, you know, it's not humanly possible to lose 20 pounds.
It is. You'd have to lose a
Help.
limb. Like, that's ridiculous.
I didn't even cry. I was just like baffled.
Yes,
I was like, let's make a deal here. I was like, yes, I will lose weight because I actually. I think it was because I was obviously living across the world from my family. It was really like my first huge move, and I was in a different country, etc. So yes, I did gain weight, but I still wasn't like
Oh,
fat.
God, of course you weren't. Yeah.
So I made a compromise with her. I was like, look, I will find a trainer. I will find like a way to healthily, I mean, do it in a healthy way to lose what I've gained, but I'm not doing it in 1 month. I will do it by the end of the year for sure, no matter what. So I will actually have a contract possibly in hand. And so she agreed to that. And but besides of how positive I was, it definitely did make me question
Yeah,
a lot
yeah.
about my
Because
body.
I mean, like, for starters, good for you. Like, I love hearing that you stuck up for yourself and you were like, no, like, you don't get to tell me what I look like or how I should be. Like, that, God, I admire you. And I wish when I was faced with those environments, I was brave enough to say, like, hang on, you're being ridiculous. And also, are you a nutritionist? Like, round of applause for Candy, because that is just marvelous. I love hearing that you, like, took
Thank
that
you.
strength back. More, we
Thank
need more
you.
of that.
It obviously made me question about myself because I was the tallest girl in my year at London. Again, 5'10", and I wasn't stick thin like the other girls. And the fact that she had already told me that to focus on contemporary ballet. So I was already wondering, I was like, am I gonna fit in as a quarter ballet member? Because that's usually the first step in a ballet company. And I questioned myself, even I was like, do I love what I'm doing now? Because at San Francisco Ballet, I was like already dancing with a company at the time when I was 15. Like, I was already in the quarter ballet. I've already done like the Dream Scene in Don Q. I've done Sleeping Beauty. I've done Nutcracker. So I've been doing it for quite some time. And I was like, do I really want to be a quarter ballet member standing in B plus for 10 minutes waiting for the soloist to finish their coda scene? I was like, do I really want this? Do I want to be like every other girl? And so obviously, again, that was just, a very back thought, because I was still in this classical bunhead even when I was graduating. And so that time when I entered complexions, that first master class, I realized that I didn't want to be like everyone else. I wanted to be my own person, my own dancer. And that's why Complexions was and is my dream company to this day, because we're all about diversity. No one in the company is the same. Like, the height difference, the shortest girl is 5'3", which is my closest friend in the company. Tallest girl is 6'2".
Wow.
And we come in all different shapes and sizes. Some are skinnier, like lanky. Some are wide built like me. Mm. Some are curvy. And we really embrace our ethnicities and what we have to offer. And I think that's just so beautiful because, again, as the year evolves, I think people are starting to realize that body inclusivity is important.
Mm, yeah.
And so I didn't really gain my confidence in my actual body that I have today until like the last 3 or 4 years when I joined the company. And that's when I truly was an advocate for young girls to really believe in what you have to offer, because no one else is ever going to look like you. And why should you ever fit a mold?
Obviously
it's easier said than done. And
as
you grow, you'll realize this, but it just doesn't make sense to me why another person wants to be quote unquote, like even when I was teaching yesterday, this, my young student, she's like, I want to be like you. I want to look like you. I was like, why do you want to look like me? I was like, you don't want to look like me. Like, look like you. Like, you're beautiful. I was like, you're going to grow up to be something maybe more extraordinary than me. So I want people to embrace what they have, whether it's curves or no curves, long legs, whatever you have, beautiful eyes. Like, there's an attribute about you that's so astonishing. Did I answer your question?
You did. And I'm sorry, I was enjoying that so much. And I completely agree. And I think you're right. There's just this space for us all at the table. You've just got to find your space. You've just got to find your seat. Because I think, I also had the exact same mentality of I don't fit in. Or I was trying for such a long time to make myself fit in. And that would have literally made a life where I was working so hard, so dieting, doing whatever it took just to fit in. And like, that's not a life where I'm living. That's a life where I'm surviving. And for sure, once you find your seat at the table, like, it's yours. You've just got to, sometimes it just takes a little bit longer for people to find where they are right, and where they just don't have to like contort themselves to fit into a shape that's not meant for them.
Exactly.
It's hard.
I feel like I was again talking about this with a past mentor of mine. I was like, you know, your early 20s and your mid 20s, around 23 is when you realize all of this, like where you're comfortable truly to talk about, I think body image, and when you're, I think, most comfortable in your own skin. Maybe that's just me.
No, I also agree. I mean, like, I'm like 23 in like a month, so for sure, we're like, I'm on that schedule too. It does come, and I think, it's such a richer place and a far happier place when you do arrive.
Exactly.
Oh, thank you so much for chatting to me today, Candy. Honestly, we've just unloaded so much goodness.
I'm so happy I got to sing with you. Thank you so much for asking me.